Did Demario Davis deserve his All-Pro status? Is Steven Nelson the best corner on his team? And how many players from the New England Patriots defense show up in my top 50 defensive players list? All that and more on episode 21 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. Let me start off by saying this list was a lot more difficult to rank because I feel like there's a lot more under-the-radar players that are so good and don't get noticed, and no shame to the guys that just missed out on the list in my honorable mentions category. But you just barely got beat out by the other 50 players. I consider pretty much everyone on my top 50 and even honorable mentions to be either above average, at least elite, or a superstar defensive player. I'll start off with the honorable mentions list. Jerry Hughes from the Bills, DeMarcus Lawrence, Carlos Dunlap, Gerald McCoy, Jonathan Allen, Leighton Vander Esch. He definitely would have made it, but he just didn't play too many games. Joe Schobert, Corey Littleton, Shaquille Griffin, Darius Slay, Micah Hyde, Anthony Harris, Buda Baker, Max Crosby. And although he was off to a very, very good start, J.J. Watt only played 6 games, so he unfortunately did not make the list. Starting off my top 50 defensive players list, I'm going to start off with number 50, Matt Ioannidis, defensive end from the Washington Redskins. And yes, I can say Washington Redskins because technically last year he did play for the Redskins, not the Washington football team. So Ioannidis played in a career-high 16 games with 42 solo tackles, 22 assisted tackles, 11 TFLs, 16 quarterback hits, 8.5 sacks. He's really a cleanup guy. Like, if one of the other defensive linemen from the on that line doesn't get to the QB, he'll be the guy there in no time. One of the more underrated defensive linemen in the league. I think he's a very underappreciated player, and a part of that is because he does play for a bottom dollar of a team in the Washington Redskins. At 49, I have another underrated player. I have Fred Warner, linebacker from the 49ers. He had one interception, which he did take for a touchdown, 9 passes defended, 3 forced fumbles, 3 sacks, 89 solo tackles, 29 assisted tackles, and 7 TFLs. He's a very underrated middle linebacker and was a huge part in the 49ers' defensive success in the 2019 and 2020 season. And at 48, I have Kenny Clark, defensive tackle from the Green Bay Packers. He had 6 sacks, 62 tackles, 9 TFLs, 7 quarterback hits, 1 forced fumble, and he did make the Pro Bowl. It's crazy how much endurance Kenny Clark has as a defensive tackle. He had one of the better 40-yard dashes when he was a rookie in his first season. He picked up right where Mike Daniels left off. I think it's hard for Clark to put up incredible statistics just because the Packers' 2, 3, and 4 defensive tackles are literally no names. They're really, really bad, and there's no reason for you to know who they are. But Kenny Clark is definitely a bright spot on that defensive line. And at 47, I have cornerback from the Washington Redskins, now on the Seattle Seahawks. In 11 games played, he had 4 interceptions. Oh, Quentin Dunbar. Forget the most important part. He had 4 interceptions, 8 passes defended, 37 tackles. He allowed 33 completions, a 60% completion percentage, and a passer rating when thrown against at 68.4. Dunbar is in line to receive potential ramifications from the league concerning an alleged off-season incident. It remains to be seen if he'll suit up against the Falcons in week 1. All 4 of the victims in the Dunbar-Baker case have given sworn statements that they were paid off $55,000 in total to recant their original accusations. So it's going to be hard to see if it's hard to say right now if we're going to see Quentin Dunbar in action in this upcoming season. I know DeAndre Baker will not be playing, but he was the quote-unquote mastermind behind the whole incident with Dunbar and Baker. I have a whole episode, or not a whole episode, but I have a segment in one of my previous episodes about Dunbar and Baker case, if you want to go listen to that as well. But yeah, Quentin Dunbar, he had a very, very good season last season, but we're yet to see if he'll play this one. At 46, I have Byron Jones from the Dallas Cowboys, now on the Miami Dolphins. He had 6 passes defended, 37 solo tackles, 9 assisted tackles. He allowed only 34 completions and a 53.1 completion percentage and a league-leading 395 yards. Miami got a very, very good player in Byron Jones, and as a Washington Football Team fan, I'm very glad he's out of the NFC East. At 45, I have Packers corner Jair Alexander. Last season, he had 2 interceptions, 17 passes defended, which put him top 5 in the league, 50 solo tackles, 8 assisted tackles. He allowed 59 completions, a 53.6 completion percentage, and 831 yards. He has great hands and ball awareness, but he does get beat over the top quite often. I believe he's a little overrated, but still definitely a top 10 corner and a top 50 defensive player overall. At 44, I have safety from the Chicago Bears, Eddie Jackson. He had 2 interceptions, 5 passes defended, 51 solo tackles, 9 assisted tackles. He allowed 23 completions, a 53.5 completion percentage, and 233 yards. He was a Pro Bowler, and he did tie his career high with 10 tackles at Denver before beating that with 11 tackles in Philly a week later. And he also recorded a game-clinching interceptions versus Detroit and Minnesota Vikings. Very clutch player in Eddie Jackson. You don't get to see many clutch players on defense. Usually the quarterbacks and other guys on offense get that praise, but I can safely say Eddie Jackson can go into that clutch conversation as a clutch player in this NFL. Didn't have the success as he did last season, but still a very, very good season for Jackson. Obviously wasn't all pro, he was a Pro Bowler, but hopefully we can see that the shades of his all pro season this season. At 43, I have Steven Nelson from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had 1 interception, 8 passes defended, 61 tackles. He allowed a 50% completion percentage and only 37 completions allowed. 0 touchdowns allowed and over 1,000 snaps played. He's a very underrated cornerback. I had never heard of him before the season started, despite having a pretty good 2018 season with Kansas City. Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden seem to play very, very well together in that Steelers secondary. At 42, I have Dante Hightower, linebacker from the New England Patriots. Fortunately, we're not going to be able to see Hightower play this season because he did opt out due to COVID-19. But last season, he was a maniac. He had 4 passes defended, 1 fumble recovery, which he returned for a touchdown, and that touchdown was the only one of the season for him. He had 5.5 sacks, 47 solo tackles, 24 assisted tackles, 8 TFLs, 13 quarterback hits. He was a Pro Bowler. This defense was really one of the best and most fun to watch last season, with plenty of moving pieces and growing players. Big part coming that from leadership from Dante Hightower. With the departures of Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins, I would say we will be able to see Hightower's stats spike up, but unfortunately he opted out, so we're not going to be able to see that. Maybe in a future season we'll see that. At 41, I have Matthew Judon, linebacker from the Baltimore Ravens. He had 4 forced fumbles, 9.5 sacks, 42 tackles, 14 TFLs, 33 quarterback hits. All those stats were career highs for Judon besides tackles and TFLs. He was a Pro Bowler. I will say he was slightly overrated. He did deserve the Pro Bowl though. He had great leadership as the only, dare I say, good linebacker for the Ravens last season. Him and the rookie from LSU, Patrick Queen, should be a very, very good linebacker duo for the Ravens. I mean, that's really what happens sometimes. The NFL just put a label on a team that they're the best, and then they'll send like a bunch of players from the from that team to the Pro Bowl just so they get more not views, but well, yeah, views and merchandise and money from that team. And I'm not saying Judon didn't deserve the Pro Bowl; he definitely deserved it. But players like Patrick Ricard for the Ravens, I mean, who really knows if he was the best fullback last season? Could have been one of the worst statistically. I couldn't really tell you, but things like that are things you got to look out for when voting and watching the Pro Bowl, which I'm probably the only one that watches the Pro Bowl anyway. So, moving on, top 40 now. And coming in at 40, I have Calais Campbell from the Jacksonville Jaguars, newly acquired from the Baltimore Ravens. He had two forced fumbles, one touchdown off of a fumble recovery, 6.5 sacks, 37 solo tackles, 19 assisted tackles, 10 TFLs, 25 quarterback hits, and a 22.2 missed tackle percentage, which is a little worrying. He was Week 3 AFC Player of the Week, and he was, like I said, he was traded to this offseason to Baltimore for only a fifth round pick. Jacksonville better hope that that fifth round pick pans out pretty well for them. We'll see. 39, I have Bud Dupree from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had four forced fumbles, 11.5 sacks, which put him top 10 in the league, 36 solo tackles, 20 assisted tackles, 11 TFLs, 23 quarterback hits. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 3. And my Redskins wouldn't sign him because they're cheapskates. For those of you who don't know, Preston Smith used to be on the Redskins, but he didn't re-sign for contract because we wouldn't offer him the money he wanted. They obviously didn't see something that the Packers saw, so he's now on the Packers, tearing up offenses in week in and week out. At 37, I have safety Harrison Smith from the Minnesota Vikings. He had three interceptions, 11 passes defended, three forced fumbles, two fumble recoveries, 65 solo tackles, 20 assisted tackles, and 19 tackles in the two playoff games that Minnesota played in. He was a Pro Bowler. Him plus Anthony Harris were a very good duo. Sucks that roads were open every play when the defense had played man-to-man defense. But you can quote me on this for sure. Mike Hughes, Jeff Gladney, Harrison Smith, they're going to be absolutely filthy next season. I guarantee it. At 36, I have Von Miller from the Denver Broncos. In 15 games, he had 8 sacks, 33 solo tackles, 13 assisted tackles, 10 TFLs, 20 quarterback hits, 37 pressures, and a Pro Bowl. Stats certainly don't tell the whole story, as it does with any player, but certainly not with Von Miller. After wreaking havoc on the league since 2010 or 2012, teams have started to put three players on him when he is a blitzer. He may be on the downcline of his career, but he's still helping out that Denver defense and putting up very, very solid numbers. At 35, I have Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle from the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies, I'm in baseball mode right now. Philadelphia Eagles. He had, last season, three forced fumbles, 3.5 sacks, 26 solo tackles, 14 assisted tackles, 5 TFLs, 10 quarterback hits, 10 hurries, and a Pro Bowl selection. Similar to Miller, maybe on the downcline of his career, but still a very, very solid player on that defensive line for Philly. Coming in at the spot of 34, I have cornerback Marshawn Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints. He had one interception, 14 passes defended, 46 solo tackles, 11 assisted tackles. He allowed 44 completions, a 50% completion percentage, and three touchdowns. He was a Pro Bowler And he plays in a stacked wide receiver division with guys like Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, just to name five off the top of my head. He has to play them twice every season, so he's lining up against elite guys like 40-50% of the season, not to mention the other guys he has to face outside of the division. And then the Saints usually place in the top of their division, so that means he's playing other teams in the top of their respective division. And as far as I'm concerned, most of the guys that finish in first have at least one elite receiver. So he's lining up against elite guys more than half the season, probably close to 75, and he still puts up insane numbers. Coming in at 33, I have DeForest Buckner from the San Francisco 49ers. Last season, he had 2 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown, 7.5 sacks, 62 tackles, 9 TFLs, 14 quarterback hits. Similar to all the 49ers on that team, great chemistry on that 49ers defense. He was a lethal part and a very important part of that 49ers front line, is now a part of the Indianapolis Colts, getting paid $21 million a season, making him the second highest paid defensive tackle in NFL history. Coming in at 32, I have Earl Thomas III from the Baltimore Ravens. He had 2 interceptions, 38 interception return yards, 4 passes defended, 32 solo tackles, 17 assisted tackles, a career-high 6 quarterback hits, and a Pro Bowl season. Very good first season with his new squad. You know, he wanted out of Seattle right after he got injured. Gave the middle finger to his sideline after he was injured and being carted off. I'm sure most of you know that picture I'm talking about. With all his incidents off the season or off the field this past offseason, we'll see if he's going to suit up for the Ravens this season. I know earlier today, actually, he got in an altercation with another defensive player on the Ravens, Chuck Clark. So we'll have to see what Earl Thomas ends up doing. And even if he does end up playing, I know he was hanging on by a thread after the whole wife pulled a gun on him while he was cheating on her incident. So we'll have to see what happens with Earl Thomas this season, whether he is playing for the Ravens or he's a free agent the whole time, or maybe he gets a new team. We'll have to see. Coming in at 31, I have defensive lineman from the Kansas City Chiefs, Frank Clark. He had 4 passes defended, 3 forced fumbles, 27 solo tackles, 10 assisted tackles, 12 TFLs, 14 quarterback hits, and in the playoffs, great, great numbers in the playoffs as well, he had 5 sacks, 9 tackles, 5 TFLs. He was also a Pro Bowler, and he played on the Chiefs, so he's got a Super Bowl ring now. If he didn't make the playoffs, I'm not sure where he would be on this list. Probably closer to the higher 40 range, lower 40 range, but I did put him higher because of his playoff stats. Not to say his regular stats were not good, but his playoff stats were phenomenal. Coming in at the 30 spot, I have another Kansas City Chiefs defensive lineman, Chris Jones. In 13 games played, he put up 4 passes defended, 1 forced fumble, 9 sacks, 23 solo tackles, 13 assisted tackles, 8 TFLs, 20 quarterback hits, and 11 quarterback knockdowns. Just like Clark, he was a Pro Bowler, and he now has a Super Bowl ring on his finger. He was a big part in that much-improved Kansas City Chiefs defense. Statistically, last season, he had a better season, but didn't make it to a Pro Bowl. Very, very strange. Statistically, last year, he had a better season than his previous year, where he did make a Pro Bowl, but this year, he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Very, very strange. The NFL's Pro Bowl selection process is absolute garbage. I mean, Xavier Rhodes was the worst cornerback statistic wise any made it this year. So that goes to show that the NFL Pro Bowl selection progress is absolute garbage. Coming in at 29, I have Devin McCourty from the New England Patriots. He had 5 interceptions, which put him top 5 in league, 7 passes defended, 2 forced fumbles, 46 solo tackles, 12 assisted tackles, and he allowed 20 completions, 220 yards. Stephon Gilmore gets a lot of love, as he should, but Devin McCourty was a crucial part of that Pats secondary last season. Coming in at 28, I have DeMario Davis from the New Orleans Saints, linebacker. He had 1 interception, 12 passes defended, 4 sacks, 87 solo tackles, 24 assisted tackles, 11 TFLs. He earned, as I mentioned in my intro, he earned All-Pro, but not a Pro Bowl. I think he probably could have made it to the Pro Bowl, as there's more. There's more slots in a Pro Bowl roster than there are All-Pro roster. And I think there were definitely better options for the All-Pro team in terms of linebackers. But he still had a very good season, the best of his career, I would say. Coming in at number 27, I have Nick Bosa from the San Francisco 49ers. Our third San Francisco 49er defensive lineman on this list. So, Nick Bosa put up 2 passes defended, 1 forced fumble, 9 sacks, 32 solo tackles, 15 assisted tackles, top 5 in TFLs with 16, 25 quarterback hits, NFC Defensive Player of the Weeks, 4, Week 5, and 8, and he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Month for October. He also earned himself a Pro Bowl and the Defensive Rookie of the Year award. I'd say Nick Bosa and Lamar Jackson were the only two award recipients that you could not make a good enough case for anyone else to win. And rounding off the first half of this list, I have Justin Simmons, safety from the Denver Broncos. Last season, he had 4 interceptions, 15 passes defended, which put him top 10 in the league, 65 solo tackles, 28 assisted tackles. He allowed only 28 completions, 288 yards, and a completion percentage when thrown against at 52.8. He also played every defensive snap for Denver this season. Very, very hard as a defensive player to play every snap. He went pretty unnoticed despite having a really elite season until, I'd say, after the season ended, he finally started to get some recognition. Denver did re-sign him to a 1-year deal. Kind of surprised he didn't get the big bucks after his season here. But if he has another season like this, like 2019, he'll get paid like a top 5 to top 10 safety like he should. So that is going to complete today's episode. I gave you my number 50 all the way down to 26 defensive players from last season. Again, this is not a prediction for next season. This is just going off of last season's statistics and everything in between that. So, be sure to look out for numbers 1 through 25. I think that's probably what you're going to wait for. My top 25 offensive players of the last season from the NFL was my best episode. It got the most plays on Spotify and all other streaming platforms. So yeah, hopefully defensive does just as well. So if you haven't already, please do subscribe, share, like, give me a 5-star rating, all that fun stuff. As always, you can follow me on Instagram. But yeah, that is going to round off this episode. Be sure to look out for the next one, number 22. Bye.